He's the expert.
Wow.
Austin turns to for all things baseball.
Why was this guy on the roster?
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mazz.
Presented by Mass Mutual, official sponsor of the Boston Red Sox. Also brought to you by Bigelow Tea, Corona, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Jackson Lumber, True Made Foods, BostonRefunds.com, and Blue Moon Belgian White.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Payoff pitch, and that swerved in. So Senzel will take the walk, and that'll put him on at first and second for Jose Barrero. And the manager up there in the top step.
Something's not right.
He's coming out again with the trainer, so another medical visit.
They see something mechanically off. You don't want to hurt him for the remainder of the season here.
I don't think I've ever seen this, too. Two medical visits on the mound.
Oh, he's coming out. Chris Sale is leaving the game at 59 pitches.
The first thing I thought was, I don't think you can come out a second time like that.
If it's a medical visit.
Yeah.
Is there two medical visits?
You're allowed to do that.
Back to back. I mean, it just seems like it's back to back.
Really fast, and out he comes.
That's not good news.
It is not.
All right, I don't need to tell you, that was last night at Fenway Park. Chris Sale comes out of the game. He has just gone on to the injured list. This news just coming out of Fenway Park. Alex Cora actually spoke with the media about maybe 90 minutes ago, somewhere in that area, somewhere between 4 and 4:30, and indicated that there was a possible IL stint for Chris Sale that has just come out over from Fenway Park, that he has been placed on the 10-day IL, I believe it is, but I would expect a longer absence for Chris Sale. I'm just giving you the news first here on the Baseball Hour tonight. Then we'll get to your phone calls and the particulars. Let's open up the phone lines right away, 617-779-0985. It is a Friday roundtable, albeit without Matt McCarthy. So Tyler Milliken here to do his usual bidding on a Friday. If you're a business owner, and the Friday roundtable, I should say, is brought to you by our friends at Boston Grill Partners. If you are a business owner with five or more employees, go to bostonrefunds.com to see if you qualify for a tax credit up to $26,000 per employee. Now, before we get to the particulars on Sale, again, placed on the injured list, no indication of when he'll be back. Milliken, just give me your biggest takeaway from the whole Chris Sale story. Go.
Yeah, it can't be good. I think you look at this right now, and we've talked, you know, so much the last couple of weeks about 85 wins. Like, that's what I kind of saw the ceiling is this for this team. Yeah, that goes all out the window. When you have a guy in Chris Sale who's had a 2.90 ERA over his last seven starts, who's given you the length in this rotation that you really haven't had, and I think we're seeing those cracks in the bullpen really in the month of May, now that they've had to, for 2 months, really carry the pitching staff as a whole, this is bad. And I think the Red Sox at this point, when you're talking a shoulder injury, best case scenario, it's a month, if it's the most smallest thing. But we're talking, look at someone like John Schreiber. It's been a month. We don't even have a timetable on him yet. The history with pitchers and shoulder injuries, it's not good. This is a guy who in 2018 dealt with that shoulder injury, cost him all of August. He was not himself in September. We really didn't get real Chris Sale until the last out of the World Series. I think you look at this here, it's time to make that transition, that flip. You're not competing this year. It's always been an illusion that you were going to be able to get in, especially when 85, 86 wins isn't going to be enough. I get ready. I look at Cutter Crawford. It's time to go full youth movement in the rotation.
Okay, so here is the one thing I would say with regard to this Chris Sale injury. And this is a question for you, Tyler, as well as for everyone else out there. Is this bad luck? Is that all this is, bad luck?
No, it's impossible. When you look at the track record, and this is an injury he's dealt with, this is just, unfortunately, an older pitcher who has dealt with so many problems over the years. It's predictable. There was no way. I never even thought in my wildest dreams he'd make 25 starts. Now you're looking at a shoulder injury. That's a really serious injury, most likely. It's just this is what they bet on, but I think they knew what they bet on, and that's why they chose to stay under the luxury tax. They knew their most likely reality was development this year. You're not going to be in a spot for a playoff spot or anything like that.
Okay, so again, we played. That was the highlight from last night. Alex Cora also spoke about Chris Sale last night. He spoke about him again tonight. When he spoke, the Red Sox had not placed Sale yet on the injured list. Sale, I am told by Jimmy Stewart, our producer, is going to speak to the media here in a matter of minutes. So we're hoping to have some of that sound for you here on the Baseball Hour. But let me just tell you this, okay, because to me this is all pretty simple. This is not a Chris Sale story. If you thought Chris Sale was going to come back, make 30 starts, and win 17 games and strike out 230 guys, well, then you're living in fantasy land. I don't know what to tell you. If it happened, great. Excellent. But if you were planning on that as a fan, you are delusional. There was no way to expect that given everything he's gone through. So what I will tell you is this. Again, not a sales story. It's a Red Sox management story. That's what this thing is. It's a Red Sox management story. And the fact that they went into another season with Chris Sale identified as the ace of their staff is a condemnation on them. That's what it is. Not a commendation. It's condemnation of the way they're doing business over there. It was painfully apparent to everyone that the Red Sox needed a front-end starter coming into this season. I knew they weren't going to go get one. It's why I told you last year, put Whitlock in the rotation, put Bayo in the rotation, try to fill it out with a couple of veteran guys, maybe Michael Walker, see where it gets you and go from there. Then rebuild your bullpen. So they didn't go out and do it. And by the way, when I said I knew they weren't going to do it, because I knew they weren't going to spend the money. That's why I said that. This is further evidence that they keep putting stopgap measures in place when they really need a bigger overhaul in all these positions. I talked about this at the beginning of the week with Tristan Casas, which we'll get to with Milliken in a little bit. I'm not sure Milliken and I disagree as much on Casas as you might think, but in any case, they stopgap first base, they got what they paid for. They've stopgap other positions and spots on the roster, they got what they paid for, most notably in the starting rotation. And they're still in the spot now where they don't have a competitive team on the field, at least as competitive as they should be. So you want to tell me they're 500? If that qualifies as competitive, great. It doesn't qualify as competitive here. That's my opinion. If they're finishing last place in the division, not competitive. So that's just, I'm sorry, Tyler, this one has just gone completely up my ass.
I don't blame you. I think when you look at it, though, and when you say it's a management decision, it is that. When they chose to stay under the luxury tax, they had that three-year deal on the table for Nate Eovaldi. They said, it's right here as long as Xander Bogaerts is coming back here. The minute they found out Xander wasn't coming back here, they realized, oh, no, the foundation that we thought we had building or that we were kind of progressing with going into, coming off of 2021 and ALCS appearance, it was gone. We had to take a step back, and I think that's where the Red Sox stand right now, where they entered this year and they said, hey, we can sell this kind of idea that if everything goes right, in a perfect world, you get Chris Sale to make 25 to 30 starts, yeah, we're going to be competitive, we'll be in it. That was just never the reality, and I think deep down they knew that as well because their priority this year was never to win. That's not what this year has been about, and the fact that John Henry allows that at this point in time isn't right. That's where we go to the outlook conversation we've had for so many weeks and months here. But to them, this was always a development year. I think they see Sale going down. They say, shucks, that's awful. But hey, we're going to let these young guys continue to grow because moving next year, we're going to try to push over that luxury tax again.
Okay, so I want to bring in Martin in Texas who's a regular caller of the program, but I want to get to more in this whole idea of the Red Sox wanting to continue to grow. Okay, what kind of progress have we seen there? But first, Martin in Texas on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Martin.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to... throughout my opinion on the matter is I never thought that Sale was going to make 25 starts, but I did think that if he made, 17 to 20, he could get back to where he was maybe as a low 3, high 2 ERA guy. But they just need to go out and get an ace at this point. Whether we're going for it this year or not is besides the fact, because we're not going to get one in between this year and next year. You're not going to tell me next year is going to be the go-to year when we can still get an ace this year for next year.
Yeah, so Martin, look, again, the problem is they don't have front-end pitching. They don't have front-end pitching. And now their bullpen's blowing games, and it's really costing them. They're, 8-13 in their last 21 games?
Yeah,
well, like that?
Did you think you were going to get these appearances from Josh Winkowski forever? He's a good reliever. He's getting the job done. But him, Cutter Crawford, Kenley Jansen throwing 96 to 98 at times, that's just not reality. Eventually, there's going to be leaks. You put that pressure on. And let's grow up here. Look at the last 2 years. What they did in 2021, if you had a competent bullpen, maybe you are in the World Series that year. Instead, they ran Adam Ottavino into the dirt, and they just kept hoping and praying that it was going to come together and they were going to figure it out. It ended up being the reason that team failed. Then the following year, they just completely go against it after taking Tanner Houck, the guy that they said, hey, we're going to keep him in the bullpen and we'll kind of, or, you know, we'll have him in the rotation, but eventually he'll get pushed out. We're moving Whitlock back and forth here. They've never looked at it and realized the burnout that happens with the bullpen over the Heim Bloom era. I think that's one of their biggest flaws and mistakes in roster building right now.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions, because, again, there is this whole thing that this is a bridge year. It's a development year. They're not selling us a product on the field. And, you know, somehow people say that's okay if you develop your young players, which I disagree with. You're still paying the highest ticket prices in baseball. You still expect to get a product on the field. The Red Sox should be able to give you both. Okay, they should be able to give you both. But I'll tell you what, I'll play the game for the sake of playing the game. The development of the young players. And Milliken, try to be fair.
I am most fair.
Okay, try to be fair.
Believe in me.
Okay, so let's talk about the development of the young players. Tristan Casas, forward or backward? Is he moving forward or moving back?
I'd call it right in the middle. It's too early, but trending backwards. I think that's fair.
Okay, has not gotten better.
No, I disagree with you. I think the month of May, he was above league average hitter. It was about a 760 OPS.
Okay, but I'm not talking about the month of May. I'm talking about the whole body of work.
Well, we're talking about progress. You know, we're going to go sit here and, you know, cry about 70 games from Tristan Casas. He is a young player. Not every guy is going to come up here and dominate right off the rip. He's going through some pain or some struggles, bumps and bruises, trying to figure it out. But we saw an awful April. He had a decent May. That's just the reality of it.
Is he ready to be an everyday big league first baseman?
On a team right now that's not serious about competing, yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with them running him.
That's not serious about competing?
Yes.
Okay, Emmanuel Valdez.
He's definitely slowed down, and I think he kind of is what he is. He's a platoon bat. If you thought he was going to be the starting second baseman for the next 10 years, you were always asking for too much, because at the end of the day, he's a liability defensively as well. I'd say he is what he is, but trending backwards overall, but that's a fine. Like, no one ever expected him to be a starter. He looks like a platoon bat at the big league level.
Connor Wong.
Step forward.
Okay, who am I leaving out? Garrett Whitlock.
Injuries, but I'd say, yeah, a little bit of a step back. Still too early, though.
Like, injuries count as a step back.
Yeah, okay, then you have to frame him in that light.
Brian Bale.
I'd say right in the middle. He's stepped forward. He hasn't taken a significant step back. A little inefficient at times. The homer problems have worried me a little bit, but overall, he's pitched well his last six starts.
Okay, last question that relates to all of them. Have you seen enough from the young guys to think that they are ready to be impact players next season and that you'll contend next year?
Yeah, I think you are trending in that direction. I think
I didn't say trending. I said, have you seen enough to believe that they will be?
Right now, no, you need more progression.
There you go. That's the answer I'm looking for.
But we're in May or June now, June 2nd. But, you know, a name you didn't include in there, Josh Winkowski, someone who's been arguably the most important pitcher on this entire staff this year. Cutter Crawford, another guy who's shown, at the very least, he's an elite reliever. I think there's a starter in there. Tanner Houck, while the ERA is a little bloated, a lot of the underlying metrics have been good. We've seen progression with the cutter and the splitter so far this year. So I think there's something there. It's just, you know, you're not going to get a full picture with a lot of these young guys until they're doing something consistently. They've jerked around so many of these guys over these stretches that you don't know what they are.
I'll tell you what, Milliken, I wish I had your perspective. And I mean that sarcastically, but I also mean that and genuinely. Because you have a rosier outlook than I do. I don't see it.
I think I just look at it, and I remember Xander Bogaerts, the first 300 games this guy played, he was a below-league average hitter. He was getting booed in 2014. People want to rewrite it in their head and act like, well, remember Xander in the 2013 playoffs? Yeah, there was a lot of struggles there. There was a time when he did not get on base at a good clip. It was a very empty batting average, and there was no power with poor defense.
Okay, you said it took 300 games for Bogaerts?
Yes.
How many has Casas played?
70, I believe.
Okay, so why should I believe that next year he's going to be ready to be an impact player and change the American League East?
Yeah.
Why should I believe that about Valdez? Why should I believe that about Whitlock? Like, you understand where I'm going with this? I haven't seen enough from these guys to believe that there's something in there that will change what the franchise is next year.
I don't think you have that player. Like, it seems like you're kind of looking for that, you know, top, you know, of the line.
Yes.
Maybe that one or number two pitcher. I think Bayo has that in him. I wouldn't assign that to Whitlock or Houck at this point. I think Casas, yeah, it may be a year of building towards that, but do these guys have it in them? I think there is something there. But if you're talking top of the line talent, the guy you're looking for is Marcel Meyer. And, you know, he's at Double A. He just got there, probably mid-2024, but you're not going to get that kind of player until then.
Okay, so this is my concern. I don't know when the Red Sox are going to be good again. That's my concern. You want to tell, again, I don't buy the whole this is a developmental year thing, because they're a $220 million payroll. It still ranks 12th, which is lower than it should be, but they're spending enough money on the team to put a better product on the field than what they're putting on there. They're boring. I don't feel like they're getting better. They have flashes of entertainment value, but the bottom line is you don't win consistently enough for me to care. I don't see some sort of meteoric rise in any particular player. Bayo a little bit, I'll give you. There's some of that there. I thought Durant was showing something earlier in the year. Now that's gone sideways. Casas, to me, has been the same guy since he got to the big leagues. I just don't see anything consistent from him in terms of the ability to catch up to a fastball consistently. And you know, early on, he was unwilling to swing the bat. Whitlock, to me, feels like an injury waiting to happen over and over and over again. And the two guys you're talking about in the bullpen, those guys aren't going to change their fortunes. They're perfectly good pieces.
No, they're relievers. Those are the kind of guys that, you know, I think, do I look at Winkowski or Cutter Crawford and think those guys are going to be closers? No, I think Cutter Crawford could be a starter. I think you got a lot of these closer to middle tier pieces than you're looking for that top of the line, that piece that's going to change your future and, you know, push you forward. Yeah, I do think they're lacking in that department. And I think they got their fingers crossed saying, well, we thought Whitlock was going to be one of those guys, especially in the rotation. We're hoping Bayo. Casas, yeah, you're supposed to develop into that middle of the order bat. I'm not ready to freak out or go too far because it's earlier in the year, and we've seen the growth in 1 month though, where he became above league average hitter. There's no denying that. Yes, it was a very up and down month, but it was a step forward. If he replicates that month over the next 5 months, we're looking at a guy who finishes around as a league average bat in his first full season.
And if the queen had balls, she'd be king. So we all know that one. So now, look, we'll continue with your phone calls on this. We'll give you an update on Chris Sale as well as soon as he speaks over at Fenway Park. And to me, this is kind of an important story, and I'll tell you why. There's going to be something that takes place at Fenway Park tomorrow that has not happened in 45 years. 45 years. And it's fan-friendly, and I'm going to tell you why it pisses me off, because it actually, naturally, everything pisses me off eventually. But this is a good thing for fans that led to a realization that pissed me off. We'll do that when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's best baseball banter. The Baseball Hour with Tony Mazz on the Sports Hub.
What did you find out? What's the outcome?
So I got something going on with my shoulder, obviously. Still have some things that I have to kind of go through to kind of finalize what the deal is, but, you know, obviously a hit nonetheless.
That's Chris Sale at Fenway Park just a short time ago. Look, I don't blame Sale for being frustrated. I mean, the rhetoric that came from Sale in the spring, I got tired of a long, long time ago, like many of you did. And when I say the rhetoric, I owe the team something, I need to earn my money. Like, he said all the right things, blah, 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 blah. You know what? All I care about, get on the mound and pitch. Get on the mound and pitch. The Red Sox are paying you $29 million a year. It's $25 in luxury tax dollars if you care. But the bottom line is, like, him saying all the right things shouldn't appease you anymore. The Red Sox need results. They need players. They need people who can get on the field and win. That's what they need. And I'm not sure they're any closer to getting them. Jimmy, you said we have more Sale, right? So why don't we play a little bit more Chris Sale just to hear what he had to say? But to me, I want to get to the other thing, which is a significant thing is taking place tomorrow at Fenway Park, which I want to touch on. But let's play more Sale, Jimmy. Go ahead.
So for me, I got MRI, CT scan. I think they're kind of looking over those right now. I think I have a couple more tests I have to go through until we can kind of give a, you know, a definitive answer. But still, obviously not the situation you want to be in for sure.
Okay, is that the one we just played or no? Is that a little different?
That was the second one.
Okay, the end was just the same, sorry. So he had a similar sentiment is what I mean. So he's got more testing coming. What does that tell you, Milliken?
Clearly something's off here where whatever they looked at the first time, either whether they can't explain what he's feeling or something's off there. And you see this with these shoulder injuries in pitchers all the time. It's honestly, as big of a red flag as elbow injuries, but shoulders take out just as many pitchers. A lot of the times when that stuff happens, and you can go down the list, Jacob DeGrom a year ago went and he had the stress fracture in his scapula. That was it for him all the way until August. I think he made 11 starts. You can go and think of all these pitchers over the years. What's scary here is that not understanding or really having a idea of where you're going, that tells me, and he doesn't think he has to have a procedure. He says he's going to try to throw in 5 to 7 days. I don't know. All of that, just not having a clue what's going on, that tells me that there's likely something deeper here that they're not going to be able to get to the bottom to. And even if so, we're looking at, you know, the typical thing where it's a setback after that, a setback after that. This is a guy who was throwing 110 and 111 pitches a month ago. I don't feel good reading this and seeing this, and he doesn't seem to feel too good within himself. It feels very similar to knowing there's probably another shoe to drop in the next 10 days or so. They're just trying to figure out exactly what that shoe is.
Yeah, he doesn't sound optimistic. I mean, listen to the tone in his voice.
Well, one other thing, Tyler brought up the fact that he was throwing 100 pitches. That St. Louis Cardinals start is what Tyler told me off the air, what you're pointing at me right now. They overextended him in that game because he was feeling it.
Two in a row. It was 110
yeah, it was.
And 111.
It was two in a row.
And that's where I sat there and I was, you know, with Cora this year, I've had a couple questions with the bullpen at times, but overall, and they did it with Paxton during that same stretch where it's like, wow, you had such kid gloves on this guy the first month of the season. It's great that he got on a hot stretch, but you immediately took them off and said, we're not going to even pretend like it's 2023. We're going to pretend like it's 2012 and you're going to go be a real workhorse. That always felt scary to me and like this was something that could play out in front of us. And the other thing I'll mention here, the last two starts has been on, 5 days of rest. So an extra day compared to your regular. All throughout May, when we were seeing that 97 to 98 at times, it was 7 days, it was 8 days, six-man rotation. They had a day off every single week. It is not surprising to me that once he started to get closer to that five-day window, that typical four-day window, that this is what happened in front of us.
Oh, there's no question. Look, again, Chaim Bloom said it at the end of last year. Do you remember this, Jimmy? He said, when he comes back, we're going to have to deal with the reality that he hasn't pitched in 5 years. We're going to have to ramp him up. It didn't feel like, to me, like they ramped him up. So,
it's a mistake by Cora.
It is a mistake
Chris
by Cora.
Sale was feeling it, and he let his veteran pitcher kind of lead the way, and now we're at this point where Sale's hurt again.
Just like last night when Chris Sale was out there and he was hurt, and he convinced Cora, three more pitches.
Hold that thought. Give me more Sale, Jimmy. Go ahead.
We have more than just the one, but this one in particular stood out to me. It was Chris Sale is saying his elbow's fine.
You said there's some uncertainty. Is the elbow okay, or is that kind of examining everything?
No, elbows, everything with the elbow is fine. Nothing, I mean, we're strictly looking, pinpointing at the shoulder, which is weird. You know, I haven't had anything with my shoulder in a very long time. So it was, I mean, I even came in and like, they're like, hey, what's wrong? I said shoulder, and they're like, shoulder? What? You know, it was surprising to everybody. So, again, just kind of a gut punch. You know, I worked really hard. A lot of people worked really hard to get me to this spot. And, it's tough being a disappointment again.
Okay, the fact that it's surprising that it's a shoulder should not surprise you. He had a shoulder problem at the end of 2018. That whole thing started with the shoulder. Then the next year it was the elbow, and then his arm blew out. Okay, so now I'm one of these people that believes in some way it's all connected, but even so, that should not surprise you. And to your point, Tyler, shoulders are worse. Shoulders are worse than elbows. Elbows are fixable.
Especially today, Tommy John, everybody's going to get it once or maybe even twice.
Shoulders are career enders. Okay, now I don't know what this is, but rotator cuff injuries, guys from elbow injuries come back and throw harder often. Shoulders, that's not true. Okay, it's a more complicated joint. It's not a hinge joint. It's a ball and socket. Not that I'm here to tell you as some sort of medical expert, but it's a totally different thing. It's scarier. Jimmy, you mentioned Cora. Let's play the whole Cora exchange last night after the game, okay? And I want you to listen to the questions and the tone from Cora. This is a series of questions. It runs a minute something. We'll see if we can amplify the questions so you can hear them clearly. But Jimmy, go ahead.
It says sore shoulder. He'll have an MRI tomorrow, and we'll know more. So, hoping for the best. Obviously, it didn't look great. Vila was down. I'll say in the second inning,
right?
We went from 95 to 90. So, let's wait and see.
Have you said anything about discomfort, or are you just going by the?
No, there in that inning, the way he was moving on the mound, and obviously kind of like people notice it, and I kept looking at the velo. So then it's 95, so. But like I said, we'll check tomorrow and see where we're at.
He was pushing to stay in the first time you went out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what changed over the course of like two pitches there for you to just decide that?
I cannot be irresponsible. You know, like we've been through this lane for a while, and we know each other. And obviously, it's not easy because of what he's gone through. But in the end, I gotta take care of him. You know, it's like I know he tried to take care of us, but it doesn't work that way. And from my end. And at the end, it's Chris Sale over the Red Sox. And he wanted to finish it, but give it a shot. But then after that, can be irresponsible.
I'm concerned, right? You have any concern?
We'll see.
I mean, the way he said it there tells you, Sale talked him into staying out there. Cora went back to the dugout, and then he started getting second thoughts. And this to your point, Tyler, about the number of pitches he's thrown. On May 20th, 111 pitches. On May 13th, 110 pitches. The starts prior to that, he had not thrown 100 pitches in a game since 2019 prior to that. Okay, you got to go back 4 years before Chris Sale had thrown 100 pitches in a game. And then in back-to-back starts, and again, as you pointed out, Tyler, with extra rest, Cora let him go 110 and 111. In one of those games, he let him go 8 innings. So there's an extra up and down in there as well. Then he comes out for the third one and his shoulder's sore and he can't finish and his velocity has dropped. They pushed him too hard.
And that's the scary thing. And I think this circles back to the conversation we had at the very beginning of the show where a lot of their starters weren't going deep into games. And I think Cora sat there and said, all right, well, this is the only way we're going to get a deep start. This is the only way we're going to get 7 or 8, and we can save the bullpen and maybe give them a couple days here. They did it with James Paxton, another guy who has just as long of an injury history here, if not longer. That's part of the roster building. That's part of depending on some of these younger arms and putting guys like Chris Sale and James Paxton, who you can't trust them to be those top of the rotation starters. Their bodies can't handle it. But when you're putting them in those spots because that's what you have, here we are.
I mean, again, the Red Sox have put themselves in this predicament. First of all, they brought Sale back to lead their staff, which was a mistake. You want to bring him back, fine. I mean, he's making big money. You're not getting rid of him, but you can't rely on him. That's mistake number one. Mistake number two, they then brought him back and let him go 110 and 111 pitches in consecutive starts, which in this day and age insane. Might as well be 130. Nobody lets pitchers do that anymore. Now he's hurt. That's on them. That's on Cora. That's on the pitching coach. It is. Now, I don't know if it's a fireable offense. I'm not going that far, but I'm telling you, that's on Cora. That's on Cora.
And what frustrates me more than anything about this is they
said... And you know what? And Cora knows it.
Oh, 100%.
That's why he went out there and got him off the mound last night.
Immediately, quick, after he realized it, which still, you know, he says he noticed it in the second inning. If you notice in the second inning, he should have been out of the game then. That's the reality of it. But the other thing I kind of look at here when it comes to Chris Sale and all of this is, you know, when he kind of went down and all of this played out here, you knew with Chris Sale... calling him and not saying, you know, saying all spring training, this guy, he's not our ace. You can say that, but your actions never matched it. And that's due to what you have and the tools you have in front of you. But that's where you kind of have to go and hold the front office accountable and say, yeah, you said all those things about him not being that ace. But based on how you did this roster, you have all young pitchers behind him. There was no way those young arms were ever going to be able to carry him and protect him.
Tyler, took me a long time to learn this. Don't ever judge them on what they say. Judge them on what they do. Murray's got your headlines when we come back. I'll touch. I didn't get to the thought yet about what's going on at Fenway Park tomorrow. We will do that when we come back on the base.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're listening to the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on the Sports Hub.
It's different than that. I would say in a better way than that. So we're obviously optimistic. this isn't anything that's going to require any procedure, I don't think, you know, and any of that kind of thing. I think it's just one of those, just going to take time, you know, and again, I can't really get too definitive because I don't have anything too definitive, but, you know, not good sitting here talking about it, that's for sure.
More Chris Sale. I want to take a couple of your calls here. I want to get to something else that's going to take place over the weekend. Not to just, you know, we'll continue to talk Sale if you want to talk Sale. And by the way, when he says, you know, nothing definitive, we don't know, they have an idea. They have an idea. They're going to do more tests, but they're, you know, they saw something, and he said it's going to be a little while. Or effectively, that's what he said. Don't bank on Chris Sale. I wouldn't count on him. They should have never counted on him in the first place. Mike's in St. Louis on Chaim Bloom. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I just want to talk about, because Chaim Bloom's always talking about sustainability, and the biggest thing that lost me with him was the whole thing with Bogaerts. Not for the reason that we obviously can see with Kike kicking the ball around and throwing it into the stands and some poor lady's nachos over at shortstop, but more for the fact that if you don't, with not signing Bogaerts for $180 million because you have Marcelo Meyer 2 years away, I think is asinine, because instead you could have two all-star shortstops with years of control on great contracts 2 years from now when Marcelo's ready, and you can trade one of them, and that's how you get other Marcelo Meyers, because you're not getting them in the draft. You have a $200 million payroll every year. You better not suck enough to get a top five pick ever again. So it just drives me insane that he is basically just splitting tens on the blackjack table with $240 million betting on all these crazy things to happen and all these ifs.
Dad, you know, well, I'll tell you what, that is a great way to put it. Splitting tens on the blackjack table. You got yourself a 20, play the 20. Play the 20, stay, win the hand. Instead of trying to get, you know, two 17s, which is what you're going to end up with. Ron's in a car. Ron, go.
Yeah, hey, love your baseball knowledge, guys. My question is, like Nolan Ryan and a few others, like, because of the analytics and everything, who is, or if they're ever going to be, do you think might be a workhorse, like go nine innings and they get...
Ron, let me cut you off. It doesn't exist anymore.
I think there is one guy.
Okay, how many guys, but the point is, there aren't many of them. The number is, how many guys pitched 200 innings last year? How many guys did it? And I know you're looking it up, yeah. Tyler. I'm not putting you. I mean, I know you're looking.
I think the one guy screaming, being impatient over here. I think the one guy you can look at and call a modern day workhorse is Sandy Alcantara, and even him, he's broken down this year after last year carrying the heavy workload he did. I think the ERA is like mid four so far right now. So we see you push these pitchers to throw, you know, 215, 220 innings. They're not built for it. They're not built for it from all the way down to when they first start playing baseball.
It's not a natural act. It's not a natural act. Your arm swings by your side pointing down. It doesn't swing over your head. Okay? It's not a natural act. Your arm swings better at the bottom like a softball pitcher. That's a natural movement with no strain. Once you lift it up over your head, there's strain. It's just not a natural act. You didn't find it, did you?
Eight pitchers.
How many? Yeah. Eight? Eight guys. 200 innings. And what was the highest number?
228.
Who was it? Was that Alcantara?
Yep, it was
who
him.
Was next?
Aaron Nola at 205, who will be a free agent.
Okay, so there you
season.
Go. The guys who did get to 200 just barely clicked over, right? Just barely got over. Alcantara's the only one who cleared it by three outings, right? So the rest of them all just inched in there. It doesn't happen anymore. That guy doesn't exist. A lot of things don't exist in baseball, which brings me to the point that I keep putting off, because this is a bit of a crusade, and I don't know if it's going to change or not. The Red Sox tomorrow are playing a scheduled doubleheader. Scheduled. Now, it's split entry. The first game's at 1:10, I believe. The second game's at 6:10. So you have to have separate tickets to get into the game. So it's not like you can buy one ticket and see two games. Sam Kennedy, the Red Sox president, said that this thing is an experiment. They're going to see how it goes. They think there's an appetite for day baseball, meaning that on the weekend, people are more likely or more apt to go to two games, one at 1 and one at 6, than they are to go to a 7:10 on a Monday night. And originally, this series with Tampa was a four-gamer. The fourth game was supposed to be on Monday night. So the players liked the off days, and the Red Sox said, you know what? Let's try something different here. Instead of playing the fourth game on Monday, let's play two on Saturday. We'll split the entry, and we'll see how it goes. All of that's good, right? You like the doubleheader, Tyler?
For it, I do seven-inning doubleheaders. I'd be the first one to put my hand up for it.
Even better. Okay, fine. But for the fan, and I'm with you. I'm with you on the 2-7 innings. They should also make them single entry.
Agreed.
Okay, but whatever. The doubleheader, I like it. Jimmy, do you like it?
I do like it.
Okay, the players like it because they get Monday off. So instead of playing on Monday night and then having to fly to Cleveland and arriving at 2 in the morning, they now get to leave earlier in the day, get in, have a meal in Cleveland, not as chaotic. They feel better. It's better for their health. All good. Makes all the sense in the world, right? Which leads me to this. Why don't they just start the night games earlier? Tampa plays at 6:40. This happened with the Red Sox early in the year. They played a game down there that was, what, 156 or something?
Yeah.
Or 206? It started at 6:40. It was 206. It started at 6:40. It finished at 8:46. Quarter of nine, the game was over. So 6:40 start with the pitch timer. Game's done at a quarter of nine. You can still do something or watch something with your wife and kids. You got the whole night ahead of you still. You're not jamming in the game at 3.5 hours. Win, win, win.
I couldn't agree with you more. And what's even more confusing to me is a couple years ago when people were crying about these game times, the Red Sox said, you know what? We're going to do you even worse. We're going to start the games at 7:30, which was, you know, we're talking 3 hour, 3.5 hour games. Now you can get 2.5 hours, 6:40. Now I'll tell you, to offer the other example, the reason the Red Sox won't push it earlier, they feel like people don't have enough time to come from their jobs to get to the ballpark. Now,
okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought there. Don't continue because I want to get back to that in a second, but we have a guest caller on the phone here. Scott's in Wrentham. Scott, what do you got?
Hello, gentlemen. How are we doing today? Maz, I love all the baseball acumen. I get enough of it from Milliken from 10 to 2. But one of the biggest days at the Sports Hub in the last, I would say, year, Carmelo Harris, the NXT champion of the wrestling world, was in. And you should have seen James Stewart and Sarge, who hasn't been in the building in about 2 years. About how long was he in, Jay Stu? About 3 hours?
He was in for about 4 hours on Thursday, and then he came back on Friday. We shot some B-roll footage that aired on USA Network.
That's awesome, and they do a great wrestling podcast. But and Tyler could tell you this, on the This or That thing that we do 10 to 2, we have a new segment called This or That. Would you rather have Carmelo Harris or Tristan Casas? This or that?
Okay.
And I'll leave it up to you guys. I'll take your sounds off air. Goodbye, guys.
Thank you, Sal.
Thank you, Sal. All right. I don't even know who the hell he's talking about.
So Carmelo Hayes is a pro wrestler. He was in here. He's a hometown guy. He's a Framingham guy. He's one of the WWE NXT champions. And so he was here doing media, did all the media, talked to me. I shot some B-roll footage with him that aired on USA Network. And his opponent was the guy who nudged me, Bron Breakker, that aired on the Peacock Network.
Okay, so Jimmy, is the NXT tour champions, what's it called?
And NXT, there's no actual, like, it doesn't stand for anything. Like, WWE stands for World Wrestling Entertainment. NXT is just three letters together.
Okay, so is it like the G League for wrestling or something?
It would be equivalent to the Worcester Red Sox.
Yeah, the G League. Same kind of thing. So the readers are going to call it NXT is because this guy's going to be one of the next
guys. He's
going to
be next.
Yeah, next on the WWE.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the clarification. Of course, this isn't a wrestling show. It's a baseball hour. So I want to get back to the 6:40 starts on Saturdays, or 6:10 tomorrow, but Tampa plays at 6:40. Why don't the Red Sox just play 6:40 games? And Tyler, say what you said before Zocal.
Yeah, a lot of their reasoning for it has been they don't feel like people have enough time to get to the ballpark. And I'd wonder today even a bit more if it becomes more of a topic of conversation because of Bear Seals and how they have to kind of cut them early due to how short the games are at this point. Is that another thing that would play into this entire conversation here?
Okay, do you believe that people need more time to get to the ballpark at night?
No, 6:40, for me personally, that works well. Now, you get out at 5, you get into the city. How far are you coming from here, right? Like, if it's going to take you 1:40 to get to the ballpark, it's a rough day. You're not the typical person. I think they should start at that time. I'm just giving you the Sam Kennedy spin.
Okay. Tony, do you remember what year they did the 6:05 starts? Because there was a year, it might have been 06 or 08 or 09, something like that, where they did have 6:05 starts.
But they didn't move them. They only did them early in the year, Jimmy. They didn't do them the whole season. They did them early in the year because the weather was colder It made for a little better temperature at the ballpark. You know, they didn't have to play till 10:30. They were done by 9:30.
So could they have used that data there and be like, yeah, you know what? This doesn't work for us.
Yeah, maybe. But I'll tell you what. Here's where the problem is with that argument. People's habits have changed. Since COVID, people's habits have changed. People don't stay at work as late as they used to. They can accomplish what they need to now at home via Zoom, on the phone, whatever. So they say, I'm going to get the hell out of here. So the habits have changed. We've seen it here, right? We get all kinds of
data. The only day the sales staff is here is Thursdays.
Right. And we get all kinds of data here as to which hours are the most listened to. It's typically when people in their cars, and I'll just give you a small sample of this. But for a long time, our 4 and 5 o'clock hours were the biggest ones. Now, I haven't looked at this recently, so let me say that up front. But the 5 o'clock hour is no longer one of our top 2 hours, or at least it wasn't, you know, in the last several months. Okay, now maybe it's gone back to that, but I don't sense it. I think fewer people go into work, period, and fewer people stay at work late. They're out of there early. And nobody goes in on Friday.
Oh, gosh, it's okay. A ghost town in here.
So the point is this, if fewer people are going in, and if they're leaving early, wouldn't it actually be better to start the game at 6:40 so people aren't killing time somewhere else in some bar somewhere before they, because that's not money going to the Red Sox, unless you're going to the ballpark early, in which case maybe Milliken's argument holds water. That they say, well, the game's on until 7, but I'm going to leave work early. I'll go eat at the ballpark and have a couple of drinks there. Fine. Then they're making money with the pregame.
I think the reality is the shorter game times will push them farther away from this conversation than they ever were. Because now we don't have ball games that go to 10 p.m. anymore. It's just, you know, that's a rare day if it goes over 3 hours. Now, most of the time, it's between 9 and 9:30, and the game's over. I think for them, they consider that kind of a sweet spot. You're asking me, someone who wants to get some sleep, who, you know, who would like to record earlier at night and not have that? Sure. I think that's just not the prototypical fan. I think most people, you're telling them 6:40 versus 7:05. It's not that much of a difference with the shorter games. When it was 3.5, 4 hours and the game didn't move, it was a bigger topic.
Okay, so Milliken, I would say it's the opposite.
Why?
Because the 6:40 start and the pitch timer now means you can get out at 9:15. So the idea that you could shorten the game and shift the starting time saves fans an hour. It saves you an hour. You'd be done with the game at 9 o'clock. It used to be 10:30. Now you can give fans more. Now there's an opportunity there. You'll get more viewers. You'll get more viewers. You'll get more people in the ballpark because you can get out of there earlier. And you know what? If people are a little late to get to the game, fine, no problem. They're not staying for the 8th and 9th inning in many cases anyway. They skip out. So why not show up in the 3rd and watch the final 7 instead of the first 7? And for all I know, I'm talking out my ass and the data doesn't support it, but I'm telling you, people will adjust.
So, Tony, what about the commercial rates from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, which are usually prime value for Red Sox viewers or Celtics viewers or whatever it is?
Okay, but again, people's habits have changed.
Well, I'm talking about the ad dollars from corporate.
No, people's habits have changed, which means the ad rates should be higher earlier in the night now. They're not the same. People's habits have changed. They get home earlier from work. Now, if it's shifting back, if there's recent data to suggest that we're out of COVID and people are staying until 6 o'clock again, then my argument doesn't hold as much water. But 6:40 starts with fast games? Who wouldn't love that? I think that's fabulous.
Means the baseball hour goes to the baseball half hour, right? 6 to 6:30?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think of that. Oh, that's win-win-win. That's what that is, Jimmy. Very good.
Speaking his language.
Wow, I only have to do a half-hour show.
Or if they start at 6:05 like they did apparently in 2015, the baseball hour is eliminated.
Do I get the same ratings bonuses?
Yes.
Then definitely we need to move to 6:40.
Maz, then we don't get to spend days together talking anymore. How are you going to get by?
Okay, well, you know what, Tyler? Now you're giving me another reason to get out at 6:30. Like, who do I need to spend that much time with? I love the idea of 6:40 baseball. Love it, love it, love it, love it. I think that that is great. And again, I go back to that game in Tampa earlier in the year. What a thing that was. I got home that night. I missed a few innings of the game because by the time I left here and got home, the game had already started. So I missed some of it. We were on the air that night, Jimmy, if I'm not mistaken. So the game starts while we're on the air. By the time I get home, it's the 4th inning. An hour later, the thing's over. It was great. It was like great. 6:40 baseball. Tyler, tell me you don't love that.
Oh, you could talk me 6:30. I think you'd go with lower. I think 6:30 would be perfect right in that area. It just seems like there's a disconnect money-wise. It makes so much sense in terms of the fans, but why haven't they been willing to go that way? If anything, they push in the opposite direction. And that's Maybe that's just lack of pulse. It wouldn't be the first time with this ownership group or their management, but it seems like they're more scared of that than into it or even considering it.
So I'll tell you again, they're trying it at other places. I want to see what the results are in Tampa. Tampa's done good TV ratings over the years, Jimmy, right?
Very good.
I would love to see what their TV ratings are for the 640 game.
Better than you, Boston.
Definitely. The Red Sox did another 2 last night, although it was approaching a 3, so maybe it's a step in the right direction. Anyway, who's in tonight? Is it Joe Murray?
Yes.
Joe Murray. All right, the Joe Show coming up here at 7 p.m. Tyler, thank you for joining, as always.
It was a blast. Thank you, Maz.
Very much having you. Enjoy having you on Friday Roundtable. Joe Murray coming up next. Jim Murray, you'll have your headlines here momentarily. Everybody have a fabulous weekend. We'll see you Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.